الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, we ask for His help, and we seek His forgiveness. And we declare that nobody deserves to be worshipped in any way, shape, or form besides Allah, the one and only true God. And we declare that Muhammad was the last and final messenger that was sent for our guidance and for the guidance of all humanity until the end of time. Brothers and sisters, there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Ubay ibn Ka'b. So Ubay ibn Ka'b was with the Messenger of Allah, and the Messenger of Allah decided to ask him a question. He said, Ya Aba al-Munzir. His nickname was Aba al-Munzir. Ubay ibn Ka'b is a well-known companion who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was very knowledgeable about the Quran. So he asked him a question. He said, Ya Aba al-Munzir, atadri ayu ayatin min kitabillahi ma'aka a'zam? He said, I want to ask you a question. Which, according to your opinion, which verse do you think in the Quran is the greatest verse? So Ubay ibn Ka'b responded, قال قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. He said, I responded and I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Now this is the normal response of many companions. The Prophet ﷺ asked them a question and they say, Allah and His Messenger know best. Like, how can we respond? How can we say something when you're there, O Messenger of Allah? You can tell me the answer. And this is a very important point to reflect upon, because today we have many people, they're sitting in a gathering of Muslims and somebody's asked a question about something, whether it's cryptocurrency or whether it's politics or whether it's investing in stocks or whether it's on abortion or some contemporary issue, whatever it may be. And then someone says, well, you know what I think? I think, and then they give their opinion. or someone mentions a verse in the Quran, you say, you know what I think that means? And then they give their opinion, and they're probably the least qualified person to actually express their opinion. And we can learn something very important, because Ubay ibn Ka'b was one of the most qualified people to express his opinion, and yet still, out of humility, even with the knowledge that he had for the Quran, he would say, Allah and His Messenger know best. He wouldn't jump to an answer. We should have intellectual humility. We should be cautious before we jump and start trying to respond to something. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Aba al-Munzir, atadri ayu ayatin min kitab Allahi ma'aka a'zam. He said, I want to know, in your opinion, which verse do you think is the greatest in the Quran? So he said, I wasn't just asking you a rhetorical question. I'm actually wanting to test you and see what your opinion is. I want to know what you think. Answer my question. So he asked him this question. So Ubay understands, and he says, okay, he really wants to know my answer. I'm not going to say no the second time. So he said, قال قلت الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. So he said, I responded to him, and he said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, which is the first verse of Ayatul Kursi. A verse of the Quran which many Muslims memorize, they make sure that their children memorize. It means, Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the one in control. So, قال فضرب في صدري وقال والله لا يحنك العلم أبا المنذر. So Ubay narrates the story, and he said, the Messenger of Allah, he hit me in my chest. Now what does he mean? He struck him in his chest. He made it like a gesture like this. Like, good job. He said, Abu al-Munzir, may knowledge be easy for you. May it be pleasant for you. He said, basically, you got the right answer. You got exactly what, you're absolutely correct. And he said, this is a very good answer that you've given. Now, of course, he's not trying to harm him. This is another important point here. Sometimes people, they read a hadith, and they go, oh no, the Prophet hit his companion. It's not what it means. It just means like he just was so happy. He's like, good job, right? So we have to understand that our context when we read a verse, when we read a hadith, we should not think about our own potential context, right? In the way, in our culture, in the way which we interpret things. But anyways, Ayatul Kursi, what's known as the verse of the throne, is one of the greatest verses in the Quran, according to the Prophet, peace be upon him. This is an authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim. Now, it's very easy for Muslims to take this for granted. Why? Because most Muslims memorize this verse. Most Muslims, Sunday school curriculum, Islamic school curriculum, they make everyone memorize the verse. And many of us, we read it before we go to sleep or something like that. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And when you do something so much, it's very easy to take it for granted, because you don't really appreciate the background, the power, the value of a verse like this. And what's interesting is that many non-Muslims who are looking at Islam for the first time, for them, this is one of the most powerful verses because they're affected by it significantly. I'll give you an example. If you look at any tafsir, quote-unquote tafsir, written by a non-Muslim, if you read most books on introduction to Islam, written by non-Muslims, one of the things they point out is they say the way in which religion and belief in God is presented in Ayatul Kursi, it's so simple yet it's so powerful. They're like, we wish we had something like this in our religion. I'll give you one example. George Sale, who was an Orientalist, somebody who was a Christian missionary, and he was one of the earliest people to translate the Quran into the English language. He did it in 1734. What does he say about Ayatul Kursi in his quote-unquote tafsir? He says, it's a magnificent description of the divine majesty and providence. This is someone who's basically, and then he continues, keeps on going, and he's explaining, this is something so amazing, so powerful, it clarifies what we're supposed to believe in when it comes to believing in God and what we're not supposed to believe in, right? So all of these things, and he's a dedicated Christian who's trying to prove Islam wrong. He puts in the introduction to his translation, I'm going to try to prove that Islam is the wrong religion by translating this book, right? And yet he still has to show appreciation for this. So there's 9 sentences inside Ayatul Kursi, inside the verse of the throne. Let's go through them quickly. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no other God except Him. He is the living and He is the sustainer. Now if you think about this, this verse right here is the summary of what Islam stands for. There are no false gods. There's only one God. No other false gods. And this God that we believe in is not a trinity, is not a multiplicity. There's a unity between the God, between God. There's only one God, and this is called Tawheed. Number one. Number two, it says that He is Al-Hayy. He is the living and the sustainer. The living means that God does not die. Now for the average Muslim, you say, we know that. There's nothing special about this. What you don't realize is that Christianity taught that Jesus was an incarnation of God and that He died on the cross. So God can potentially die. Christians say that Jesus died on the cross. And you say, our response is, how can God die? Hindus say that there are different gods, right? There's Vishnu and Krishna and all of these different ones. And they sometimes fight each other and they die. The nation of Islam, which is not really Islam, right? But the nation of Islam, where Malcolm X was part of, Muhammad Ali was part of, they say that there's different Allahs. And these Allahs die. And they say W.D. Fard, Wallace Fard Muhammad, Wallace Fard was Allah and he died. So you say, there's different religions, so many religions, they believe that gods can die. And Allah is responding to this in the first verse of Ayatul Kursi, saying, this is not the correct understanding of what religion is supposed to be. Allah is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. He is the living, He's the everlasting, and He is the sustainer of everything. And if He's gone, who's going to sustain everything else? It's not just going to exist by itself. And then it says, La ta'khudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm. Neither drowsiness nor sleep can overtake Allah. If you think about that, the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day after creating the universe. This is in the book of Genesis in the second chapter. Islam comes and says, you know what? No, that's not the correct conception. That's not this concept that God needs rest or is going to take a break or something like that. No, we do not define Allah like that. So every single time we're defining who God is, we're also defining who God cannot be. Number three, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs everything that is in the heavens and everything that is on the earth. So Allah is in control and He owns everything. Right? This is important because if you think about it, sometimes people, they associate power with wealth, or they associate power with political authority. If someone is very rich and they own an entire island, right? They can own that island, but they can't be necessarily the king of that island. Not everyone's going to be in control. Then you can have a king who's the king of the entire island, but he can't own every single thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only owns things, He controls things. Every single thing in the entire world belongs to Him. He's in control of everything. And then He says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who could possibly intercede with Allah without His permission? So this idea of intercession is very important. It's basically the hookup concept, right? It's like the VIP pass. And this is what people want, right? People want to say, you know what? One day there's like a really long line to get into some restaurant, you know, to get into some place, hopefully not a nightclub or something like that, but some halal place, right? It's a long line. And you wish that there was someone who could just call you out of the line. They see you in the line. They say, hey, come, I'll let you in. They let you into the back door. And they say, hey, this person's with me. Don't worry, I got the hookup for that person. That's what people want. So what people want is, when it comes to Jannah, they want to get into paradise. And they wish they have the hookup. And they say, you know what? If someone does something, you know what? It's going to be fine. Because my mom, my dad, my uncle, they were very pious Muslims. They were really good. They were so well known in the Muslim community. Can they hook you up? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no one's going to be able to hook you up, illa bi'izni, without the permission of Allah. So people sometimes, often, what do? They're like, you know what? Oh, my family is so special. I come from this tribe. I come from this place. Allah's saying, you know, none of that matters. It's not going to help you on the day of judgment unless Allah allows for that. Right? So Allah is the one who's in control. Nobody else can bypass and do some kind of shortcut or something like this. And this is a big problem. This concept of the hookup culture exists in the Muslim community. People, they put their, you know, kids into Islamic classes. They put them in Islamic school and say, you know what? Go, my kids should learn Islam. And then they don't bother to go and learn anything about Islam themselves. And they're hoping, they say, if my kid memorizes Quran, become jannati. I've heard this from like dozens of people. If your son memorized, your daughter memorized Quran, you're jannati automatically. And you're sitting there, you don't even pray, don't even feel like fasting sometimes, and you're like, I got the hookup automatically. This concept needs to change in the Muslim community. Because nobody can hook you up unless it's with the permission of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives you the permission. He's going to give someone the permission according to justice. Right? Fir'aun is not going to get hooked up by his wife Asiya because, you know, she was one of the most righteous women that ever lived. That's not the way it works. So we need to understand that Allah is making that very clear for us. And then he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He says, he fully knows what is ahead of them and what is behind them. Allah knows the past, Allah knows the future. Nobody else can know that. Nobody else can, because everyone else is bound by time. He said, Allah is not bound by time. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. No one can grasp any of his knowledge except what he wills. Now what does that mean? Except what he wills. People say, well, you know, I can learn on my own. I can figure something out. Well, the reality is, if it wasn't for Allah, you would not be able to do that. Number one, Allah gave you the intelligence. If Allah didn't give you a mind, He didn't give you a brain, He didn't give you the ability to think, doesn't matter how hard you work, doesn't matter what you want to do, you won't be able to figure out anything. And number two, say, well, you know, we live in this technological world. There's so many inventions. People are, you know, trying to figure out new things and we're so impressed by them. And what we forget is that if Allah did not want those things to be discovered, they would not be discovered. If Allah did not want the ability to, you know, make some starship rocket or something like that, He would not have given, they would not have been able to achieve anything if it was not for the circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them in. People can sit there and say, you know, I could do this. You have to have the money, you have to have the time, you have to have the intelligence, and then you have to have sometimes just the right circumstances, and all of a sudden, many inventions, they were just discovered accidentally. People were doing some experiment, it failed, and they figured out something else. You don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a role to play in that? Of course He did. So you cannot even know anything, you cannot even learn anything if it's not for the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's reminding us that He's in control of everything, and you should not think that you are somehow in control of all of that stuff. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His throne encompasses the heavens and the earth. Means that He's in control of every single thing in existence. Doesn't matter you believe in the universe or the multiverse and the plurality and all of that stuff. Allah is in control of all of these things. Whether or not we can travel through a black hole, He's going to be in control of all the different dimensions that are out there that we know of and that we don't know of. And then He says, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. And the preservation of both, heavens and the earth, these does not tire Him at all. Just like we said before, he does not get tired in any way, shape or form, no matter what He's doing. Everyone else gets tired. You put in effort, you put in things, you start getting tired. You say, I can't continue doing what I'm doing. And this, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the most high and He is the greatest. Now this is the summary of Ayatul Kursi. It's important for us that whenever we learn something, whenever we memorize something, we should try to understand at least the literal meaning at minimum of what we learn. And then try to reflect upon what's the purpose behind it. Right? When Allah says that He's not like this or He's like this, it's trying to clarify a message of what we're supposed to understand. But there's also something else about Ayatul Kursi that a lot of people don't pay attention to. I said that there were 9 sentences. There is symmetry built into Ayatul Kursi. 9 verses, right? If you ever, you know, like when you go to kindergarten, what they do is they make these kids, you know, I was homeschooling my kids. They draw half a star on one side and they make you fill out the other side of the star on the other side, right? So it's called symmetric. A shape is symmetric if it's balanced on one side and it's balanced on the other side. It's a mirror. Ayat al-Kursi is symmetric. There's symmetry in the language. Let's just look at it real quick that we just saw. Number one, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no God but Him, the living, the sustainer. So it mentions Allah, and it mentions two attributes of Allah. The last sentence, number nine, what did it say? Wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. And He is the most high, and He is the great. Two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One here and one here, balancing. Move to verse number two, or sentence number two. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither sleep nor drowsiness can affect him. Go back to verse or sentence number eight. ولا يؤوده حفظهما. And protecting those two things does not weaken him or tire him. See the balance so far? Number three, to Him belongs everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Going back to number seven, His throne encompasses the heavens and the earth. Balanced out again. Number four, who can possibly intercede without His permission? Going back to number six, no one can grasp any of His knowledge except with His permission. Can't do anything without His permission? Without His permission. So we have four and we have four. What could perfectly balance out? There's only one verse left in the middle. What could perfectly balance out this entire thing if He was going to do something? يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is before them and what comes after them. It's the perfect balance. And what's really more significant than that is that the Quran is not some poem that is written or some text that is written and then rewritten and then you write it out. The Quran is an oral transmission. You don't get a chance to revise it. It just comes out verse by verse, sentence by sentence. So who could do this besides someone who is directly inspired by the creator of the universe? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding of this. Ameen. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. So just to recap, we talked about Ayat al-Kursi. We talked about the verse of the throne, which Ubay ibn Ka'b was tested, and he said that he thought it was the greatest verse in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ confirmed it, and he said, yes, it is the greatest verse in the Quran. So if we don't have it memorized, we should try to memorize it. If we memorized it, but we don't really understand the meaning or the wording or something like that, you should go back and take just a few moments, read it a little bit, and it'll automatically start clicking. So that when you recite it, whenever you recite it in the day or in your prayer or whatever it may be, you start making the connection between the words and between what you're going to be reciting. This is something that we owe ourselves, and we owe, you know, the greatness of our religion too. So we ask Allah to forgive us for our sins. O Allah, forgive us for our sins and our mistakes. O Allah, increase us in our knowledge. O Allah, increase us in our wisdom. O Allah, help those people who have passed away and forgive them for their sins. O Allah, help those people who are going through difficulties and who are ill and who are going through physical or psychological difficulties. O Allah, help remove the oppression and tyranny that exists in our world and protect us from injustice. O Allah, help us to see the truth as truth and let us follow it, and help us to see the false as false and keep us away from it. Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa qim salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى اعتدلوا please make sure line is straight shoulder to shoulder الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها وهو السميع العليم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to thank Sheikh Mustafa for explaining, very beautiful explanation of Ayatul Kursi. Please remember that it is highly recommended to recite Ayatul Kursi after every fard prayer and also before you sleep. Inshallah, it will bring you a lot of blessings and a lot of protection, inshallah, in this world and in the hereafter. We make dua for the health of several people. Brother Lahori Siba, Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Ammar Haddadi, Brother Abdullah Bore, Brother Aziz Mustafa, Brother Naqshuddin Momand, and also my brother-in-law, you know, Maulana Yusuf Islahi is in the hospital. Make dua for all of these people. May Allah give them shifa. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfi anta shafi la shafiya illa anta shifaan la yughadiru saqma. Also make dua maghfira for Brother Asif Mahmood, Brother Sumer Abdul Majid, Brother Abdul Hamid Simji, Brother Faiz Darwish, and Sister Nazirat Batul. May Allah give them maghfira. Allahumma aghfir lahum warhamhum wa'afihim wa'afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum wassi' mudkhalahum. Allahumma ighfir khatayahum bil ma'i was-salj wal-barad. اللهم نقهم من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم جازهم بالإحسان إحسانا بالسيئات عفوا منك وغفرانا. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بارك الله فيك.